Remember those little handheld tubular toys that when you turn the outside cylinder and peek through the lens, you would create a kaleidoscope of patterns from flowers and stained glass windows? Well, a kaleidoscope of music offerings are offered to you and yours at Miller Symphony Hall and the Allentown Symphony Orchestra. From Swinging the Holidays, jazz, Allentown Symphony Orchestra pops music and sports, to the HD series from the Met, to the outstanding Acropolis Reed Quintet and Zen for Primates. Each year, the Allentown Symphony Orchestra performs more than 20 classical, pops, educational, and family concerts. In 2014 and again in 2017, the orchestra received the National American Prize for Orchestral Excellence. As it has for the past 67 years, the Allentown Symphony continues its pursuit of excellence and passion, keeping alive the legacy of masterworks while bringing the brilliance of modern masters to the concert stage. This is WDIY 88.1 Lehigh Valley Public Radio, where you will always find many choices and real voices. You are listening now to Lehigh Valley Art Salon. I remain George Miller, and along with my wife and co-host Kate Scuffle, we chat today with Al Jacobson, Executive Director of Allentown Symphony Association, and with Lucy Blois, Vice President of Partnerships and Special Events. What a beautiful kaleidoscope of music you have created for us, especially this year. Thank you, and welcome to Lehigh Valley Art Salon.
Thank you, George.
Thank you, George. Kate.
Thanks
for having us here today.
No, it's great to have you aboard, and there's so much to talk about. We're going to focus today a little bit on the post-holiday into the spring season here, and there's just an amazing lineup. Mm-hmm. I wanted to mention, though, to our listeners, with my most recent visit to the hall, I was actually there with Festival Unbound for a concert in the Lyric Room, which is beautiful. I haven't been there in a while. It's just a stunning asset to the hall.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a brand new. Mm-hmm. Most people have yet to be in it. It opened just over a year ago in November of 2018, and it's a wonderful addition to the building. It's actually its own standalone space, has its own entrance separate from the main entrance to the hall. So it allows us to provide programming that's separate from the hall, but also it's used as lounge space during our concerts. And it's been used by a number of individuals, organizations, community organizations to rent, which is available. We started in January joining with other downtown arts organizations and presenting Third Thursday events. So every third Thursday we have some sort of a performance, usually a singer-songwriter or a small musical ensemble. And there's a bar there, so it's a nice evening right after work. And in September, we launched a brand new comedy series in the space, partnering with ArtsQuest, who has some excellent connections and knowledge of the comedy world. So we had three Wednesday evening shows, in September, October, November. We're taking a little break, but we're planning to relaunch that in February. So it's called Laughs at the Lyric.
Oh, that's great. Exciting.
And it's only $7 ticket and then a cash bar. Nice. And they, to date, have been very successful.
That sounds like a wonderful way to spend an evening.
Yes, yes. And our audiences have enjoyed them.
And I know that the Lyric Room itself, again, the variety of activities, the events, I think folks, you know, there's a tendency probably to think, you know, assume, well, the symphony's there, and, you know, I can hear a wonderful concert, I can hear classics. Mm-hmm. But something that's upcoming in the, I think it's the Pop series, Lucy, is it?
Yes, Kate,
music
you're
and
right.
Sports,
we're doing our music and sports program for the very first time with the Allentown Symphony Orchestra. And I think the premise behind it is just trying to combine these two wonderful attributes together if people don't usually see them in that same light. So we've got a great performance that Diane's put together with Cleveland's pop orchestra called Topolo. He actually has this program that he tours around the country with, and he's got music that everyone knows that's featured on that program, like Rocky Balboa's, you know, the famous you know, sound to his opening scene there from his movies back when. Chariots of Fire, the Majestic Olympic Fanfare. There's so much on that program. And I think more and more, as I recall my kids were in high school, a lot of the sports kids that were involved in football also were band members. So they always would switch. So this is a great way to bring those two together here.
This is clips from award-winning NFL films included as well.
Right. That's so wonderful. That's, it's going to be a fun show.
So there'll be visual elements as well, and a few other surprises as well. So it should be something different, but great for sports fans as well as music lovers.
And that's Saturday, January 18th. So that's coming up soon after the holidays.
Right. Yeah. We're encouraging everyone to wear their spirit wear for the concert. So, and whatever team you're on, we'll all be kind to each other.
Good.
Yeah. And then along those lines, we have one more Pops this season. That's Women Rock on Saturday, May 9th. And that's going to feature music of Carole King, Tina Turner, Janis Joplin, Aretha Franklin. So we're going to feel the earth move in the theater there. So with all that wonderful music presented by these famous women rockers.
Mm-hmm. And that's right around Mother's Day. So
yes.
That's a great tie-in.
It is a great tie-in. Great way to bring mom out and celebrate.
Mm-hmm. And as with a number of other Pops concerts, that will be led by our associate in Pops conductor, Ron Demke.
Okay.
We'll be conducting Women Rock on Saturday, May 9th.
Mm-hmm. And then coming up right after, that's getting into the spring. If we back up a little, there's another event coming up, though, that might be fun to bring mom or anyone else to.
Correct. We're happy to celebrate our 70th anniversary of the Symphony Ball this year. So we can't believe that's already been 70 years. 70. Yeah, isn't that amazing? Yeah, it's interesting because the orchestra is now in their 69th season. So the ball was the one that kicked off the program. Mm-hmm. The ladies back then got together, did this fundraising program to get the orchestra off the ground. So that's why that precedes the ball. It was the first ball was 70. Yeah. So the orchestra will be in their 70th season starting 2021. Right. So that's how that works. But yeah, we're doing our 70 ball. We're encouraging guests to come in their 70s best. Yeah. So the days of then. So yes, it's black tie, but or you can come dressed in that time period.
And that's Saturday,
February 1st. Okay. Right. Yeah.
So they can come in period dress as in the 1970s?
Correct.
All right.
We forget how they dressed.
We can Google.
There you go, George. It'll be fun. It'll be a lot of fun. We have music to the 70s as well. They'll be dancing all night, so it'll be a lot of fun.
And just like the first ball was a great way to support the hall
exactly.
and the symphony.
Right. Same way. It's always fun. So, and that goes to support our Allentown Symphony Orchestra.
Yeah, and we have, of course, the spring will feature February, March, and April, our orchestra performing the remaining classical concerts of the season.
Oh, yes.
But something to mention about the orchestra as a whole, we have a wonderful program where we offer children and student tickets for free, complimentary, thanks to a grant from the Century Fund, to any Allentown Symphony Orchestra, classical, Pops, family concert. And those can be purchased at the box office at Miller Symphony Hall at any time. But that's available for our orchestra shows. And there's three coming up, one each month. In February, February 8th and 9th, there's a little bit of a spin on the traditional classical concert. It's going to be music of the movies.
Oh, great.
Which you don't normally associate with classical concerts, but there's so many connections between classical music and the music you hear in so many films. And in our case, we're performing music that by composers who are often well-respected, both in the Hollywood circles as well as classical music circles. So, for instance, we'll be doing music from The Adventures of Robin Hood, the original Earl Flynn Robin Hood, which was music was composed by Eric Korngold. Who also has a very famous violin concerto. But then other highlights include music from Psycho, Lawrence of Arabia, E.T. We're going to have an erhu player, which is a Chinese instrument, performing music to Tan Dunn's score of Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. And then our Allentown Symphony Chorus will be joining us on stage. We're going to have high school choir singing the Southern Lehigh High School Meister Singers, and our concertmaster will be playing the solo violin tango from A Scent of a Woman. So that's very well known. Continuing on to March, March 7th and 8th, we are going to be sort of paying homage to the spring and to the 50th anniversary of Earth Day in 2020. Mm-hmm. We'll be talking a little bit more about that, too, with mm-hmm. our family concert. But this concert's going to be all about nature. So we'll be performing selections from Vivaldi's Four Seasons, as well as selections from Piazzolla's Four Seasons of Buenos Aires, which has a sort of tango feel to it, but was influenced by Vivaldi's masterpiece. We're going to welcome the violinist Lindsay Deutsch to that program. And also on the program is the great Beethoven Pastoral Symphony, of course, mm-hmm. which is his mm-hmm. piece dedicated to nature and features all sorts of aspects of nature. And the last piece, because if that wasn't enough, is we will open the concert with the world premiere of a new piece of music we're commissioning by Christopher Theofanidis, who's a really well-regarded American composer. His most famous piece is called Rainbow Body, but he's preparing a new work that has the same instrumentation as the Four Seasons, so it's just strings and harpsichord. So it'll be like a sister piece to the Four Seasons. And we're actually performing that in partnership with the Wildlands Conservancy, which is actually a co-commissioner on that.
Oh,
work.
Great. So obviously he'll be working with the sense of spring and or nature as well as the reflecting the Vivaldi influence.
I think actually he's focusing on one season and it's
okay.
fall.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
It's fall. Mm-hmm.
Lovely, lovely.
And then the last classical show of the current season is April 18th, 19th, and it's going to be the Pines of Rome, and we're going to be celebrating Diane's 25th season. So we're,
oh, wonderful.
We're doing this throughout the season.
Lots of anniversaries,
but
yeah.
this is her 25th season mm-hmm. as music director. And Diane, to her credit, wanted to celebrate, not just do whatever she wanted to, as sometimes these anniversary concerts happen, but really celebrate as many things as possible that have happened over the last 25 years. So we're bringing back Arina Marisano, who won the first shot competition, our string competition that we now hold every other year. She'll be performing the same piece she won with. The Allentown Symphony Chorus will be featured, which started about 6 years ago. The Allentown Band Brass will be performing in one of the works. We're going to be performing a organ concerto that was commissioned by Alan Organ that we have a wonderful relationship with. And then we're going to end with the Pines of Rome, which was mm-hmm. the first concert that Diane conducted when they were auditioning for music directors. Mm-hmm. And that was on her concert. So it's going to be a great celebratory event for Diane. And Pines of Rome is such a great way to conclude the season.
Wow, that's mm-hmm. wonderful. That sounds like a really exciting evening, actually. Anniversary aside, but yeah. anniversary is just the icing
well,
on the cake.
Well, you've had a wonderful summer and fall season, and now we're into the winter season and the spring. So we're looking forward to that very much so. You know where we're at, everybody. Miller Symphony Hall, 23 North 6th Street in Allentown. And you can email them if you want to find out more at info@allentownsymphony.org. Incidentally, tickets are easily had by calling 610-432-6715. We'll be right back after this important message.
Spread the word about your organization or business to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR news and locally produced music programs reaches thousands of locally engaged listeners each day. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable way to enhance your image and to provide information about your services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, call 610-694-8100, extension 6, or visit our website, wdiy.org.
Welcome back to Lehigh Valley Art Salon. You're listening to Lehigh Valley Art Salon, and I remain George Miller, and with my wife, Kate Scuffle. We're chatting today with Al Jacobson, the Executive Director of Allentown Symphony Association, and with Lucy Blois, the Vice President of Partnerships and Special Events. What an exciting season that we're coming into. I hope everybody out there is going to make sure that they support Allentown Symphony, as I'm sure they have other years.
And Miller Symphony Hall. And speaking of spring, we return to talk about Earth Day again.
Yes, we do. I know Al alluded to it a little earlier because we're doing a part of this in one of our classical pieces. But Diane put together a special program just for the young ones, and this is for families and kids. So since we're coming up on the 50th anniversary of Earth Day, she decided to do a family concert all about Go Green. So this is going to occur on Saturday, February 22nd. So, and tickets are free for students 21 and under for, again, thanks to our Century Fund folks who are supplying that for us. So you can get the kiddos out, grandparents get their grandkids together and come out and celebrate. She has wonderful pieces on the program like Vivaldi's Four Seasons, the Grand Canyon Suite by Groff, and Respighi's The Pines of Rome. And one thing we always try to remember, everyone, I know it's not always often advertised enough, but they need to come early at 12:30. We have pre-concert activities in the Rodale Room for the kids. So we know kids are young. They want to come out and play and all that so they can get all that energy out, you know, like 45 minutes beforehand, and then they're ready to sit down for about 45 minutes for a concert, right? So we'll have fun things like arts and crafty things upstairs. They can take pictures. They can make things as they're wandering around. And also, more importantly, we have the musical petting zoo. So it's an opportunity for them to try out different instruments of an orchestra so they could see what they're in for when they come down. So,
you know, music is so important in our lives. I mean, we're talking about programs and events that you have carefully chosen. For example, this one, the Earth Day, with Vivaldi's Four Seasons. And the Four Seasons, of course, are the four seasons of the year. And each has a texture of music all of its own. And then you've also, as we talked earlier in the show, talked about cinema, the sound of cinema, the sound in cinema. Like, what's your most fearful music piece? Well, from Psycho, remember that? or from Jaws, remember that?
Right.
Or how gentle it could have been from Barry Lyndon. So all of this music is so important to our lives.
Weaving into our lives.
And you're really bringing it forth in all of us. Thank you.
Well,
thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
It's also important to mention that, the family concert that's open to the public is on Saturday. In the couple days leading up to that, we have the same show being performed for school kids. So field trips where we're going to have four separate concerts. We'll have over 2,000 students, grades 3 through 6, coming to the hall during the school day to be introduced to the orchestra and introduced to this music. And for many of them, it'll probably be the first time they see a live orchestra perform. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's cute to watch them come dressed, all dressed up, come to a concert. I think the teachers really emphasize trying to give them a little, you know, culture. So it's really cute to see the young ones come in that way. Really special for them.
And the concert on February 22nd, again, sounds like a great way to spend time with the family as well, with the children beforehand, and have a day out. Mm-hmm. February 22nd, Saturday, February 22nd at 2 p.m., Go Green.
Right.
And then the Chamber Series is a whole separate. If you could tell us a little bit about that, Al. Right?
Sure, yeah. So we were introduced as being with the Allentown Symphony Association, and it's important to know that the association is the umbrella term for the entire organization, which operates the orchestra, and we own and operate Miller Symphony Hall as well. So there's always a number of events happening that don't feature the orchestra. This season is our second season where we're doing a bit of an experiment with a chamber on stage series where we turn the main stage of Miller Symphony Hall into a more intimate recital hall. We sit the audience on stage with the performers, and it creates a really up close and personal and intimate event. And on Sunday, March 15th, it's a 2 p.m. matinee, the Acropolis Reed Quintet will be joining us. And they are a young, dynamic group that formed at the University of Michigan 10 years ago. They've won a number of prizes, and they specialize in getting work commissioned for themselves. So there'll be a number of works that they've premiered on there, but they also are doing their own arrangement of Gershwin's An American in Paris. So if you can imagine that work played by a Reed Quintet. So that's going to be on March 15th. And then we will conclude this series with something you don't see too often, an organ recital. And this one is, most of these shows were on Sunday afternoons, but this one is a Monday evening at 7 p.m. Hector Oliveira will be performing on an Allen organ. And the reason it's Monday is because that's the day right after our last orchestra concerts we talked about. And, excuse me, Hector will be performing the concerto that Allen Organ commissioned for him a couple years ago on that concert. But then he's doing his own solo recital on April 20th. And he'll be doing some works by Handel and Bach, so some of your traditional organ works. But he's also going to do an arrangement of Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody on organ. So that will be, you know, talk about, you know, different and being diverse. But he's also an award-winning organist. He's played around the world. He's performed at Notre Dame in Paris, Carnegie Hall in New York, Royal Albert Hall in London. So we're really glad to be welcoming him back to the Miller Symphony Hall stage on April 20th.
Wow. 7 o'clock, April 20th. Again, folks, Hector Olivero on organ and Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody. Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
That's very popular nowadays everywhere. Yes. So everyone's doing that in some version.
And then something, one of my favorite events to attend, Jazz Upstairs, which is another intimate in a different way, different kind of space, different feel, but lovely nonetheless.
Right. So again, like Al said, we're at the Allentown Symphony Association and we own and operate the halls. So this is another way for us to fill up the Rodale Room. So this program, I've got to say, has been going strong for about 13 years now. It's been really at a good place, and more people. I know there was a time when we were always looking for people to perform, and it's nice to know the committee's getting inundated to some degree of people wanting to play in the series. And we only have 12 months of the year, so which is really nice. Performers want to come along, so we do have a bit of a vetting process. But again, it's wonderful. It's an intimate style setting in the Rodale Room. It's like a cabaret style seating. We have two sets of music that's performed, light fare beforehand. So you come at early, doors open at 7:30, the music starts, people grab a drink, grab something to eat, settle in, and they're there for the evening, which is a lot of fun. So we've got a great spring list of performances that are coming up. We've got on January 10th, we have Tony Tixier Trio. So Tony's coming back. He was here before, and by popular demand, everyone's asked to come back to come back and perform with us. He's a pianist, and he'll be returning. In February, we got Simon Mulligan. That's always a favorite around Valentine's Day. People like to use this night as a great date night. Coming out and hear him, and he's very funny with his dry sense of humor and performance with his group. So he'll be coming back on February 14th this year. And then we've got, you can check our website, we've got many to list. And I do want to mention in March, we do a partnership with the Boss Cosberg Jazz Fest. So we kind of kick off a jazz performance that also coincides with their festival. And this year we have Eric Koala, who's new. He's a vocalist and sax performer, and he'll be performing music from the Great American Songbook in March. And that's on March 20th.
And then Valley Favorites, Zen for Primates in May.
Yes,
as well.
You see them. They'll be popular. Back. Always popular. Right, yep. Right. They'll be coming back.
Yep. Yeah, I think it's important to mention we traditionally do once a month, a Friday once a month with jazz. April 2020 is a very challenging month between concerts and holidays. So we actually have two May performances.
Right.
We missed April by one day. May 1st is Music for Zen. And then
Dan Wilkins will be on the 15th. Yeah, and that will round out our spring programming for jazz.
It's one of the things that I appreciate with jazz is that we always try to balance returning favorites with also introducing new jazz. So about once a quarter, sometimes a little less, sometimes a little more, there'll be a debut artist. Like, for instance, Eric Koala will be a debut this upcoming for our jazz series. So always kind of keep it fresh, but also welcome back favorites. Of the 12 we had in 2019, six of them sold out. So half of these sold out, and were already sold. And that included one we just had this past weekend, Eric Mintel. So this is becoming a hot ticket.
Yes,
and you should purchase early if you want to guarantee
get in
a spot.
Right.
Yes. I have to say, one of the loveliest things about it for me too, which is my experience, is that for me it's so often a way to discover new musicians and new music for me, frankly. I trust the curating process deeply. It's wonderfully done.
No, it's great. I think people enjoy that it's a listening room.
Yes.
And, you know, it's more than that. It's not what we're used to having the jazz music as background and everyone's chit-chatting and talking and, you know, smoke-filled rooms. Well, that doesn't exist there. So people really get to know the artist firsthand. So it's fun.
I'm always impressed with many things that go on at the symphony. I just refer to it as the symphony because everybody knows where it is.
Right, right, that's true.
Well, Miller Symphony Hall.
Yes,
right.
Absolutely. So, but one of the neat things I do like very much is the Met Opera Live and HD series. Mm-hmm. I think it's like I get in my car and I come down to the symphony park and I'm in New York City all of a sudden when I walk in that door because
sweet.
I'm at the Met.
You're at the Met, right?
And I'm seeing what's going on backstage and front stage, and it's really exciting. It really is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a great addition. This is the 11th season now that we've had Met Opera. Often tapes live, or maybe a slight delay from the live broadcast, but still a recording of a live performance from the Met. These are via satellite, really excellent HD quality. Both the visual and the audio is top quality. These usually happen either on Saturday afternoon, sometimes Sunday, but for the most part, for the remaining shows this year, they are on Saturday. We have a number of shows. We have on January 11th, Saturday, will be a bit of a different opera, Berg's Wozzeck, which is an atonal opera. Mm. It's not for the faint of heart, that's for sure. I've seen it myself live at the Met, and it's a very dramatic opera. But then after that, the next one will be something that's quite a hit at the Met, the Gershwin's Porgy and Bess, which they did something recently which is, like, in recent memories never happened. The Met recently announced additional shows of Porgy and Bess, which I don't know how they do it. Their schedule is so packed. But they announced three additional showings of it due to demand because they've sold out on those. But we're going to have it here on Saturday, February 1st. And then we continue on in March and April and May. We're going to have some Wagner, Flying Dutchman. We're going to do a Handel opera, which is not performed too often. Puccini's Tosca, favorite, will be back. And then we end with Donizetti's Maria Stuarda. So that is a great series we're glad to have at the Hall. And I'll just end by saying, you know, this and more, there's other things too that happen at the Hall. You can always be best kept up to date by going to our website, millersymphonyhall.org. That has the most up-to-date listings of our events happening.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you.
And all the information we'd want about performances, artists, and the hall, and the organization itself.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So we thank you very much. We've been talking today with Al Jacobson, the executive director of the Allentown Symphony Association, and with Lucy Blois, who is VP of Partnerships and Special Events. Thank you very much for being with us. And thanks to our technical director, certainly, and our operations director, Neil Heaver.
Thank you both.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.